5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, Jenny Kavnar of AT&T Sportsnet. Of course, hosting an awesome radio show on MLB Network. Jenny, thank you so much for giving us some time. I know you are a busy lady. Rough day yesterday for baseball fans.
Oh, man. Don't you know it? It's a... I don't know. I have all the emotions. I think I'm sad. I'm sad as a baseball fan. I'm sad it came to this. But I think more than anything, I'm just frustrated. I'm not frustrated at the players or the owners, but you look back to how this all began, you know, it goes back 5 years to when the players felt frustrated by coming out of that CBA, felt like they lost. We saw a lot of it play out, the relationship, the contentious relationship between the two sides in 2020 when they were trying to figure out how to play a shortened season and a pandemic. And then we all kind of knew this was coming, this was brewing, this was going to happen when this collective bargaining agreement was up. But from the day that the owners locked out the players on December 1st, there really was no communication or no conversation for almost 40 days.
Wow.
And here we sit at lockout day 90, and you just look back at such a wasted opportunity and such missed time where had they been negotiating little by little every day in December, fine, take a holiday break, pick it back up in the new year, like, would we even be here? So I think there's just signs looking back that they really missed out on a chance to kind of get things solved before having to have this self-imposed deadline and get closer and closer to the clock where people were going to start losing money. And that's what's going to happen now as the season will officially begin with some canceled games.
Yeah, already missing out on some games. And Jenny, take us through this, because we've talked about it on the program, but who better than to discuss, really, what are our main hangups here? Between, obviously, it seems like things are pretty far apart at this point. So what are those main hangups that that are probably going to lead to more cancellations of games?
Yeah, it comes down to really the core economic issues. And the biggest thing I would say is probably the competitive balance tax, what fans would know as the luxury tax. Obviously, in every other major league sport, there's a salary cap. And for the last several years, it feels from the players' perspective that the owners have kind of used where the collective balance tax is sitting right now as a loose salary cap, so to speak. Not a lot of people venturing over that. Not a lot of teams and franchises willing to pay that tax on the other side. Some are. Some have gone out and spent a lot of money and said, you know, we'll do anything it takes to win and we'll go over that and we'll pay our fines. And that would include at that time draft picks. So they're trying to get that money raised on the player side. They feel just as a reflection of society with, you know, where we're at, they want that dollar amount raised. And in addition, they also want minimum salary raised for players. They feel like in today's game more than ever before in the sport that players are coming in at just contributing at such a higher level. You know, you look around at your 1, 2, and 3 players that have really affected and impacted a lot of teams positively. So they want to get players played when they're younger. They don't want them to have to wait till arbitration, till free agency. They just want to kind of increase that money there. And then they also collectively came up with this idea of a pre-arbitration bonus pool. So, you know, not to get into too much of the jargon, but a player is under control with a team for about 6 years, and 3 of those is at minimum salary, and the next 3 is at arbitration level. Now, that changes a little bit, you know, through different course of things, but in general, that's kind of how it works. And an idea that both sides have come up with to pay some of these younger players earlier was do this pre-arbitration bonus pool. So even though they're making minimum salary, if they're some of the best players in the game and they finish in the top voting when it comes to Rookie of the Year or MVP, or they get Gold Gloves or they get Silver Sluggers, or, you know, based on some statistical measurement, they're one of the best at their position, they want them to get a huge bonus for that. Well, the bonus pool money is really far off right now. You know, it came in that Major League Baseball or the Players Association wanted over $100 million in that pool and wanted about 150 players to benefit from that. And Major League Baseball went from about $5 million all the way up to $30 million. But as you can tell, there's still way off financially there. So they're all interconnected, but it really comes down to players want the owners to have the availability to spend more money because they want the product on the field to be better, and they want those younger players to get paid.
We're talking to Jenny Kavnar of AT&T Sportsnet, of course, host of Unassisted on the MLB Network. Jenny, again, you said it. It just seems like they are so far apart. We've already lost a couple of games, a few games. How far are we? I mean, how far is this thing going to go? I mean, do you see a season happening?
Well, I do see a season happening. I think there's way too much to lose. I think the reaction from fans kind of says it all right now. There's a lot of disappointment, and I think you're going to start to lose some of your fan base. It's just been a tough couple years for everyone trying to, you know, fight through a pandemic. And obviously there's a lot more going on in our world that's a lot more important than Major League Baseball and the argument going on between the owners and the players right now. So I think people are just kind of disinterested from that perspective. But I felt like it wouldn't really hurt the fan base too much until games started getting canceled, right? A lot of this battle was going on in the off season. Nothing had been lost yet financially for the players or the owners or for fans. But now all of a sudden, when you look at a schedule and you say, oh, well, they're not playing the first six games. There's no opening day, so to speak. The Rockies, for an example, they open at home. And right now, their home opener is not in jeopardy. It will still be on April 8th, as it was set to be, because, you know, the games got canceled right up until that point. But here's the kind of, like, hang-up of the whole thing for me on how much longer this will go. And we saw this back in 2020. Based on this being a collective bargaining agreement, part of that is if there is going to be a change to the length of season or a change to player compensation, which is happening when the commissioner says he's canceling games and players won't be paid for them, the players have to agree to that on the other side. It has to be collectively bargained. So now that just adds a whole different layer on top of this, that they have to be able to come to an agreement on what that looks like and how many games really will be in a season. So I don't know how much longer this is going to go on. I felt like we were getting so close when they stayed in a room for over 15 hours on Monday, and then it just kind of all fell apart. And in this day and age of social media, we're hearing a lot more from the players themselves. You know, if you look around at different Major League Baseball players putting their messages out there, a lot of them are really frustrated and felt like MLB was almost trying to blindside them by sneaking in some small fine print things into the larger competitive balance tax agreement come that Tuesday, after they had been up into the wee hours of the morning and then came back to the negotiating table for that final deadline day. So they felt kind of blindsided in that regard, and they're like, that didn't leave a good taste in their mouth, let's put it that way. I don't know when the next meeting is. It's not public yet when these two sides are going to pick up or if they're going to continue to pick up for consecutive days. I mean, again, this is the first time in this entire off-season of lockout and CBA negotiations that we saw them sit in a room for more than 2 days in a row, and they did it for nine straight days. Are they willing to do that again until something is signed, sealed, and delivered? I don't know, but as a fan, I want them to do that because we need to get a move on here as the clock and the time, or as the calendar and time are ticking.
Yeah, and your first point when you first jumped on was like, why weren't we having these crazy long sessions well before? And then we had to ramp up here where, you know, more than likely they're not going to get a deal done because we know how these things go. It does take time. You know, they're not going to get a deal done in that first conversation or 10. I mean, it is going to take time.
Right.
I thought it was interesting how you mentioned too, like the players kind of feel like they're sneaking things in. You retweeted Austin Gomber's tweet about, hey, they're basically viewing us as dumb baseball players. They're trying to sneak in a bunch of things and then saying we changed our tone. Boy, that when you hear that kind of stuff, that's where my brain goes, man, how far away are these guys?
Well, I feel like where Major League Baseball may have miscalculated this entire thing is before, you know, they have a big PR machine around this. They feel like they have been able to control the narrative a little bit. But again, the last time that there was a labor dispute in this game was 27 years ago when we had stoppage of play. There wasn't social media then, right?
Yeah.
There wasn't a big voice for the players, and the players more than ever feel like they have that voice and they have to use it. And we've heard that tone and we've heard that sentiment from them this entire time. of they feel unified and they really do feel galvanized. And you know, they aren't gonna sign something just to start getting paid, to start their clock on a paycheck. And I think that's what Major League Baseball had banked upon the whole time. If we can push them up against that clock, because baseball players don't get paid until the regular season starts. They don't get paid during spring training. So that first check will start coming when games start coming. Well, now that that check's not coming, how long are they really willing to wait to get a win in these negotiations? Because again, this dates back to 5 years ago when they walked away from the last collective bargaining agreement and feel like they really kind of got screwed, whether they screwed themselves or they actually did get screwed. They just feel like they were not going to do that this time around.
Jenny Kavanagh on the First Advantage hotline with us. Jenny, another thing, you know, obviously the money, that's the big stuff we're talking about. But you had retweeted this last night about Major League Baseball wanting to implement a pitch clock, ban shifts, have larger bases for the 2023 season. What are your thoughts there? Because we've talked about editing the game a lot, and some people are for it, some people are against it. These would be some major moves.
Yeah, they would be some major moves, and I've had some time to think about it a little bit. I think the pitch clock thing has loosely been seen in a way in the game. We've seen it at spring training. We've seen it at the minor league level. I don't think that would have a huge impact. If anything, I think it might be a positive impact on the game, right? Keep it moving a little bit. But at the same time, it's so foreign to the game of baseball. Unlike any other sport, there's no clock on it, right? You can go to a ball game for a day game, and you might not show up for dinner because you're all of a sudden in super extra innings, and you just don't know when it's going to be done. And so I think implementing a clock at any level of the game drastically does change it. I don't think that's the worst one. I think the whole banning the shift, it would be good for the offensive side of the game, I guess, to let the offense play out a little more. People complain about that often. The action of the game is lacking nowadays. It's not baseball of the 90s or early 2000s. But at the same time, like, that's the beauty of the game. And when you look at every decade of baseball in America's pastime, you can kind of pinpoint to what was dominant then. Was it hitting? Was it pitching? Was it defense? And, you know, it's always been a dance throughout the course of history of how to adjust. Once pitchers dominate and rule a decade, all of a sudden hitters kind of figure out and change some things, and then hitters rule, and then, you know, the back and forth. So the shift is what it is. It became part of the game. Hitters had to adjust to it. I'm not sure banning it is going to be the end-all, be-all. And then the bigger bases, I don't know. At this point, I'm like, what are we doing here? What's happening?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, what's...
Is there really that much injury prevention, you know, data out there that shows we should... Like, it's just...
Yeah.
I don't know. At some point, you're like, are we just throwing out things to throw out things? Or are these legitimate changes that are actually going to see benefits on the other side?
Yeah. When I read that tweet last night, I was like, bigger bases? I mean, are we just throwing stuff out there? Now we're throwing it up at the wall to see what sticks, I guess.
Yeah, it feels that way sometimes. It really does. But again, I think these are the things that, like, I also hadn't heard, you know, we know the universal DH had been agreed upon in these meetings. I'm sure they had talked about the pitch clock at some point, but we hadn't heard these things publicly before yesterday. Is this what they were trying to just sneak in with the whole deal on Tuesday, going, oh, the players might be sleep deprived. Let's like sneak this in there too, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know, because we're not in those meetings. Maybe they made it very clear that that was on their agenda for Major League Baseball. And that was a must-have for them in the negotiation process. You know, who knows?
What are your thoughts on Rob Manfred? Obviously, people very vocal today about, you know, you're getting it. I mean, you're flat out getting fans. Just ask, does this guy like baseball? Because sometimes when he talks, I don't know if the passion's there. But obviously, when you're looking at who's leading these discussions, we've talked about Dick Monfort as well. But what are your thoughts there? Because this is a tough thing to handle. There is really no handbook on this at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think no matter what your feelings are about Rob Manfred as the commissioner of baseball, you look at his press conference alone yesterday, and it just felt to me like, why was there the uncomfortable giggling sometimes?
Yeah.
Like, it should have been a somber tone. You're canceling some regular season games that is your business. Like, you're speaking to fans and media alike right now, and that's their business. That's what they want to be doing. It's where they work in. Like, I just didn't understand the tone to some of his comments before, during yesterday's press conference. I thought that was a little odd. But we've seen this before. It's a big money game, and he's paid by 30 owners to be their representative and, you know, to be out there. I think the other question that I spun off of that today, and I heard, you know, on my show on MLB Network Radio from some fans, and I've heard on Twitter from some fans, I was like, why aren't we hearing from owners in this entire process? You know, we hear from the commissioner who's representing them. We hear from Tony Clark, who represents the Players Association, but we also hear from players, right? We hear from players on the executive committee who hold press conferences. We hear from them via their social media. Like, why haven't we heard from owners? And I think it's a really great question, right? Because those are the ones at the end of the day, it's their businesses individually. Some of them have more money than others. Some of them have major market teams. Some have smaller market teams. Some are willing to spend money. Some clearly haven't and have gone the round of tanking, and that's what players are trying to prevent. But why aren't we hearing their collective message? So that's a big question I have at the end of all of this.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Jenny, what does your gut tell you? Because, again, if anyone's going to give me a halfway decent response as far as, you know, when this could get resolved, it would be you. What does your gut tell you? How long are we going? If you had to press and say, okay, I think we'll be playing baseball in this month.
Yeah, I think we'll be playing baseball in May. I hope we're playing baseball at some point in April. But I feel like if they were going to cancel games as of yesterday, are they really eager to get back to the negotiating table and solve this problem by next week when you have to cancel a whole nother series of games? And that's what worries me, is the calendar. It's always worried me. And again, they left a horrible taste in my mouth when they just didn't communicate for 40 days to begin this lockout.
I think you're 100% right. Jenny, I can't bring you on the show without talking about the Colorado State Rams.
Yes.
Let's get some positive stuff, right? I know baseball fans are bummed out, but looking at the Rams, of course, I know that's your school. You're rooting for this team, but they're not going to win the regular season title. Boise State wins that last night, but pretty sure they're going dancing. So pretty exciting up here in Northern Colorado.
Yeah, super exciting. I mean, what Nico Medved has built, what he has done, the energy on campus, the energy around Fort Collins and Northern Colorado in general, like, it has just been so impressive to see that amount of students in Moby Arena and that amount of people just packing the house, sellouts after sellouts, becoming one of the best college basketball venues this year. That has been so impressive. I got a call the game against San Diego State, and man, like, that was epic to see that and to see how things ended. They have been tough, too. Like, when their backs have been against the wall, when they haven't had their players playing their best, they have found a way to win big games. And I know they'll try and do that against Boise State, who obviously just won at least a share of the regular season title last night with their win against Nevada. Big credit, though, to Leon Rice and Boise State. They have done some amazing things with a very short bench this year. He does not have a ton of players, and they have surprised a lot of people. He always, I think, brings his A game as a coach. I really admire what Leon's done and that team, and I know they'll represent the Mountain West well in the NCAA, but I think Colorado State's going to give them a run for their money on Friday night, and maybe, just maybe, how seeding ends up, they might see each other again in Vegas, which could be very exciting. Now,
wouldn't that be great? And again, this Mountain West Conference is so much fun, and of course, you know that, seeing these teams. I mean, from the, like, 1 to 5, you got some really good teams, and honestly, other than maybe one or two teams at the bottom, the conference is extremely strong this year.
Oh, it's been great. It's been probably the strongest that I've seen since 2013, when they sent 5 teams to the NCAA tournament. Maybe another year in there when there was like 3 or 4 teams that were pretty, you know, top notch at the top of the conference. But you mentioned it, top to bottom. I think the parity in the Mountain West, it's so hard to play on the road. The road venues are so challenging, and then you add in the fact that you just have such elite basketball level and players. I mean, we talked about this 3 or 4 weeks ago on some broadcasts I was doing for the Mountain West Conference of, like, how do you pick a Mountain West player of the year? It's very clear that David Roddy is in that mix, but he has some tough competition. Like, there's 7 or 8 players, and 2 of them happen to come from Wyoming that you could legitimately say have a chance and have a running at that. But I think as the season's gone on, as some of those players or their teams have kind of fallen further in the standings, I just think David Roddy is standing in the spotlight of that. And if he's not Mountain West Player of the Year, I don't know what's happening then.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I'm fighting this battle on Twitter, but I think David's going to be an NBA player, and maybe not next year because I think he's going to be back. But I think in a couple of years he'll be there.
I'll challenge you in that. I don't know if David will be an NBA player. I think he will be a professional athlete.
Yep.
I think he might be playing in the NFL on Sundays because he reminds me a lot, different body type, but a lot of Antonio Gates, who played all college basketball, then was drafted as a tight end and had a very successful NFL career. And I could see that happening for David Roddy.
Hey, I wouldn't complain. I would be happy to see him at the pro level because you're right. He is definitely a pro athlete type of guy. Jenny, you're rocking and rolling, man. Love following your career so much and what you're doing with your new radio show. Well, fairly new, right? Back in November, I think, was the announcement. But you're killing it, and we love following you.
Thanks. Appreciate it so much.
All right. We'll try to have you on soon. Thanks. That's Jenny Kavnar of AT&T Sportsnet, hosts Unassisted on the MLB network, the radio network on SiriusXM. Jenny Kavnar. Great stuff from her as always. Oh, and doing the basketball thing, too. I did catch that game, CSU and San Diego State. I just saw your text, B-Rad. Sorry, my man. Tell Jenny, go Smoky Hill Buffs. I did not get that out there. He says, hey, I consider this lockout a rare win for the Rockies. No series in L.A. and in San Diego. Could have easily been a 1-5 start. There you go. That's the way to look at it. 26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. I want to thank Rev Chiropractic. That's Dr. Tyler Terry and Dr. Haley Harada. They have, they're my chiropractors, folks. I mean, I've been going to them for over a year now, and no complaints. My back pain is virtually gone. I mean, it's like right now, it's gone. There might be an occasional day where maybe I overdo it, sleep in a weird position, and then I wake up and I need some help. And then they help me right out. It's just like that. They're off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. There's a Home Depot in that shopping center. Check them out. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. All right, Jenny Kavnar was fantastic. She's kind of optimistic, right? That something's going to happen in May. This is ridiculous. This is just absolutely ridiculous. You have war going on. You just got out of COVID. And you can't find a way. I'm not arguing today like who's wrong, who's right. You can't find a way to get this done. This is ridiculous to me. It pisses me off. You had COVID-19 destroy 2020. Sports were obviously secondary in everything, but it was a nice way to take our minds off of things. I think sports is vital. And this is how you repay everybody. For sticking with it, everybody through thick and thin. I mean, hell, dude. We carried the Rockies 2 years ago. I remember at the drop of a hat. The players, remember when they were like standing in solidarity during the George Floyd protest? They just canceled the game. They just walked out and they said, nope, we're not gonna play it. It was a Rockies, I don't remember who they were playing. Maybe the Mets. And so our station's scrambling. Like, what do we do? So, again, people put up and lived through that and tried to make the best of those situations. And I know they were making a statement and stuff, but it would have been nice for heads up for people, especially the people that, like, you know, are not obviously not going to games, but you're paying for a service to watch games. You're paying for a TV service, a TV network to watch games, advertisers, all that. Wouldn't that have been something to let people know? I'm just frustrated because I look at this situation and I think, man, people have been through the ringer. And you guys can't get a deal done. Are you kidding me? This is the worst time for this. 34 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Basketball's positive. We're talking basketball. Basketball is going to dominate now. Poor baseball. Your ratings are going to really struggle even when you do start up. 34 minutes after the hour, we're going to get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
The time. Welcome back. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And Mark, my friend, we played the clip on Monday. You said it. Hey, anything is possible. The Buffs could very well beat the number two team in the country. And they did, 79-63. How about that?
Well, first off, coming strong out of the commercial break there with little Van Halen running with the devil. Look at you.
We gotta get something rolling, man. I mean, you called like a heck that. Of a game the other day, so that's a big one.
Yeah, you know, and listen, it's not like I'm the amazing Karnak or something. Well, there's some for your older listeners from back in the Johnny Carson days. I know what Colorado is, and I know what college basketball is. I've been doing this far too long, and so. You know, as I said on the show the other day, Arizona is exceptionally good. They are a Final Four team, maybe a national championship caliber team. Colorado is exceptionally talented, but inconsistent. And so, isn't it amazing? Look what happened on Thursday. They went out and laid an egg against Arizona State and did not play with energy, did not play with intensity. You know, my granddad always used to tell me when I was growing up that, you know, hard work's going to get you somewhere. And it's a truism in life. The Buffs came out on Saturday night, played with great energy and effort and consistency, and when they do, and didn't just beat Arizona. And Brady, here's the thing: when you see upsets many times, you'll see somebody go out. You know, maybe they hit 12 or 14 or 15 threes or something, just have a crazy night like that, shooting three pointers. And that's not what Colorado did. They didn't shoot the three very well the other night at all. But what they did, they took the heart out of Arizona. They beat them plus 21 in the second half. And with about 2 minutes left, my partner Scott Wilkie said it. He said, Arizona just gave up, and you could see it. They were done. They had nothing left. They had no fight in the left in that last couple of minutes. So, you know, now here's the frustrating thing if you're a Colorado fan. Why don't we see that every single game, right? And that's what this young team's got to figure out because they are really talented.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you find a way to beat an Arizona team like that. And, again, didn't move in the standings and all. And I want to get your thoughts on that side of it as well. But, you know, we knew at points throughout the season, okay, the Buffs could be capable with this really young group for the most part, could be capable to pull off some crazy wins. But then, a game like Arizona State happens. And I know that's got to be frustrating for Coach Tad Boyle.
Yeah, well, without question. I mean, there are three games you look at this year. I don't count the loss to Southern Illinois down to the Virgin Islands because that very young team was very early in the season, playing its first three, four, five ball games, and you're expecting that kind of thing. The Washington game, Washington State game, both on the road, at home to Arizona State, those three really bother you because of they're very winnable ball games. I mean, very winnable games. Should not, you know, you can get beat on a given night if somebody gets hot, but you don't go out and play like they did, especially the Washington State and the Arizona State game. And so, yeah, those are perplexing. But, you know, I remember back in, October when we first started talking basketball, I said this team's going to be up at times. They'll win a game or two where you don't expect them to. They'll lose a game or two where you don't expect them to. And that's exactly what's happened. And it's interesting. I've done a number of shows. I was on the Pac-12 Network a couple of days ago. And I said to the guy, I said, listen, we're talking like Colorado is a four-win basketball team. I said, they do have 19 wins, for goodness sake, in a power conference. They're a very good basketball team, but you know, they have added their inconsistencies this year.
Well, and you, 19 wins. Things have changed certainly now, but I always thought that 20 win mark was kind of that first goal. Obviously, you want to win your conference. You want to go to March Madness, but getting 20 wins, they still have Utah. I thought after they lost to Arizona State, Mark, I'm going to admit it. I was way off. I thought, oh, there's no way they're getting 20 wins now. But finding a way to beat Arizona, what does this do? In that discussion now, you and I talked about this last week, that if they would have beat Arizona State and then obviously follow it up with Arizona, we could have been talking about an at-large bid for the Buffs, right?
Well, I think they would have had to get – I said this, I think, last week on your show. I don't recall. I get mixed up with all the shows I do. But I thought they had to run the table in the regular season and get to the title game, okay? That means they would have gotten – they probably would have gotten two or three wins in the Pac-12, depending on what happens with Oregon in the 4 and 5 seed. So that would have put Colorado then at probably 23 wins getting to the title game, which means you would have had to beat a couple of real good teams in the Pac-12 tournament, and that would have put them in a discussion. I thought that's what they had to do. I still think at this point where – I haven't looked yet today, but I'm assuming their net's still around 75, 77, somewhere in that place. And if it's still in that area, you've got a lot of work to do. Because – and for your listeners out there to fully understand, okay, 68 teams are getting the tournament, okay? There are going to be, you know, 33, 34, 35 of those going to be automatic bids, kind of depending on what happens around the country with the conference tournaments. And then you only get so many, roughly 30 in that ballpark anyway, of those at-large bids. And so you've got to have that net number's got to be low enough or high enough, depending on how you look at it. Certainly can't be in the 70s. It's got to be probably in the 40s or better. And so Colorado's got a lot of work to do in that regard. If they want to make sure they're in the dance, win the Pac-12 Conference Tournament. If you get to the title game, you got a shot, you know. So we'll see what happens. It all depends on what happens around the country over the next couple of weeks.
Were you, I mean, again, I know a lot of teams were getting – it was upset city over the weekend. Obviously, we saw that with Gonzaga and like four or five other teams, too. Were you shocked that – well, Gonzaga didn't move either. Arizona didn't move. I mean, they stayed at number two.
No, not terribly shocked because, you know, it's not a real bad loss for Arizona. Okay, just like Gonzaga's loss to St. Mary's was not a bad loss.
Right.
Okay, and so college basketball fans got to understand there are good losses and bad losses. Colorado's loss at the time at Washington was a real bad loss. Colorado's loss at home to Arizona State is a bad loss. That was a quad 2 win for Arizona State. It's a quad 3 loss for Colorado. That's a bad loss. The quad 1 loss at Washington State, disappointing game, but it was a quad 1 loss, so it doesn't look like a real bad loss. Now, if you look at the score, it certainly does, because it was an awful game. But in terms of kind of just where these different games are, you know, put within the hierarchy, you know, some are good, some are bad. So, yeah, Arizona's loss was not a bad loss for them. So, yeah, they weren't going to move much. You're hoping Colorado gets to move up a little bit, because they've got a quad 1 win there, and they did move up a little bit. But, you know, this late in the year, things aren't going to shift. It's like a batting average late in the season, right? When you're 100. Well, remember back when we used to have baseball? When you get to get late in the season, right? That batting average, it takes a whole lot to really move it a lot. And that's what Colorado is facing right now.
You had to do it. You had to do it, didn't you, Mark? What a bad day. I mean, what a bad situation. I was talking about before we got you on. And I said, you know what? Basketball's rocking and rolling. Everything's looking good there. We're getting ready to get into March Madness. I don't know the half of what's going on in these negotiations with baseball, but isn't it just so frustrating? I mean, we just get out of the COVID pandemic thing, and then you have there's war going on throughout the world, and baseball can't figure out how to get on the field. I think did we lose Mark?
No, you just came back. I don't know what happened.
Oh, there we go. We got you.
Yeah.
We got you.
Yeah. Hey, no, I'm with you, though. It's a terrible situation. And listen, when you get into a battle between millionaires and billionaires, it's hard to pick a side.
Right.
But in this circumstance, when you look at this, Brady, the owners have been dragging. At one point, they waited almost 6 months, I think, to come back with a counteroffer, another time 43 days. They've got their feet firmly stuck in the dirt right now. And the players are the ones that have been giving ground, and over recent years have given some ground. And so, over these labor issues over the years in various leagues, you know, I'll go back and forth. And this one, I'm firmly on the side of the players. I think the owners are being terribly irresponsible here.
Yeah.
You look at what's about to happen. The influx of gambling money coming into Major League Baseball is going to be literally probably hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. There's all kinds of money out there. And the fact that they're not willing to budge on some of this is really kind of ridiculous. And it's just sad because you know who's going to get hurt? The fans, the men and women who, you know, sell popcorn and beer and work parking and have those kind of jobs. Those are the people that get hurt by this. You know, not the millionaires and the billionaires. But it's really it's kind of sad that this has happened at a time in which baseball, television ratings, and attendance are dropping consistently over the last decade. you don't want a work stoppage, and the owners seem willing to do it.
Do you think baseball, like, are they going to recover from this? Because we always talk about the big four, and okay, it's NFL, what's next? I don't know, is it the NBA? NHL has always been number four. I'm looking at this going, hey, if you're an NHL person, good. This is good. The hockey could jump up in the ranks and become huge. I mean, people are going to get into, they're going to get into something. If you're a diehard baseball fan, maybe you're going to pick something up.
You know, the issue becomes the fact that, you know, hockey or NBA doesn't really compete with baseball. Because by the time basketball and NHL are getting over, that's when baseball's day. So, you know, that's the summertime sport for us. We all love grabbing a cold drink and a hot dog and sitting with our buddies at Coors Field, enjoying the great weather and all that kind of stuff. And where it really becomes a problem for baseball is that if people, you know, they always say, you know, the opposite, the thing you don't worry about is somebody disliking you. It's somebody not giving a damn about you. That's what you really don't worry about. You really worry about. If fans are mad at baseball, that's one thing. If they just throw their hands up and say, you know what, I don't care anymore. Apathy is the worst thing you can deal with, and that's what I'm concerned that maybe baseball is going to end up facing.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Mark, my friend, it's been a fun ride watching this team. One more regular season to go, game to go for CU going up against Utah. In a couple of days, I'm excited to see, hey, who knows what they could do something in that Pac-12 tournament, so I'll be excited for it.
I think it's going to be a really interesting tournament coming up next week in Vegas because, you know, outside of, you know, throw Oregon State out and those kind of things, there's a couple of teams you probably throw out, but outside of that, I think it's a real competitive tournament, which it means it's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Mark, my friend, always good to catch up with you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you, buddy.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Buffs are rocking and rolling. They're going to have to do something crazy, though. They're going to have, and which, after beating Arizona, maybe it's possible. 12:50 the time. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. Boise State did claim the regular season title in the Mountain West Conference. The game on Saturday is still kind of meaningful, though, so we'll talk about it next. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
You're getting it, Jades. You are, look at you. I don't even have, that is not even on my playlist, is it? That's not even on my playlist. You're understanding what it is to be a hooligan. You're getting it, man. How do you feel? I mean, you've only been here for a few weeks, and you understand. You didn't open the mic up until we get to, until we ramp it up a little bit, man. I'm proud of you. I am. You're doing a great job.
It's easy to do a good job with something you love, Brady.
Wow, you're going to make me blush, man. And I don't blush very often. Fantastic. That's it. The rock, we play rock music here. That's what we do, unless it's a wacky 80s Friday or something like that. But you're learning so much. Were you a rock fan before this? You put the headphones back on. You could jump in here. Help me out. Save this segment.
A little bit. Just from what my parents would play in the car. When I'd have to sit in the back on my way to my baseball games, listening to their rock music.
Yes, they get it, man. They get it.
80s on 8 XM. That was the go-to station.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. It's great. It's fantastic, and you're getting it. It's wonderful. I just blanked out. Who's the rock band that's going to be at the Stampede? Why am I blanking out on this?
Stampede.
Come
on. This summer?
Yeah. Who's going to be there? What? Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
Like, does that do anything for you?
No.
No. Brad Paisley?
A little bit. I'm most excited for John Party.
Is that, like, is he the Christian guy?
Uh-uh.
He's the country guy.
Yeah, he's pop country.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's going to be, are you going to go?
Probably.
Well, so that Stone Temple Pilots, you don't like him or you haven't heard of him? You haven't listened to any of their stuff?
Completely neutral.
I will take you there.
Okay.
We will go, and you will learn. I went to, I always go to the, if the rock concert, I always go to the rock concert. I always try to get there. I went to 3 Days Grace a couple of years ago. I made Clark go. Clark Johnson, the voice of Preps Radio. He had a blast. I don't think he did. It's a great time, though. I do love the Stampede. They do a wonderful job. So, tickets are on. I think tickets are on sale. Check them out. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're jumping right into Broncos talk. Do you want Drew Lock to be the starting quarterback for the Broncos next year? Not do you think, do you want? We're talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.